You are listening to a sermon by Claire Goodfellow, recorded on Sunday, April 3rd, 2022, at Point Grey Intermennonite Fellowship in Vancouver, British Columbia. The opinions expressed by the speaker are not necessarily those of the church. This recording is licensed for personal use by individuals only, and may not be copied, broadcast, or redistributed without the prior permission of the church board. For more information, please visit our website at www.pgimf.org.
Thank you, Diane. Mary has interested me for several years. The Protestant Bible doesn't include much information about her, and yet she played an exceptional role in the history of Christendom. Many of us Protestants dust her off at Christmas and give her a passing nod at Easter, and for the rest of the liturgical year, Mary seems somewhat relegated to the far recesses of our consciousness more than anything. With the exception of some traditions who recently celebrated the Feast of the Annunciation last week on March 25th. Nonetheless, Mary's purpose transcends the liturgical calendar. We find direct mention of Mary in a few select points in the Gospels. For today, I will refer to Luke 1:26-38, when Mary is visited by the angel Gabriel and where we hear her speak and respond in what we now refer to as the Annunciation. In his book, Painting the Word, John Drury looks at how pictures with Christian themes can narrate a story. And he states, and I quote, "Painters have to show things physically as God did in Christ, and therefore need to know exactly what they must show," unquote. Artists select important points for the visual narrative and use a specific language. And in many ways, it's a very concise and metaphoric language where gesture and symbol are integral for visual communication. Drury provides a contextual analysis of three pictures on the Annunciation. However, it is the Annunciation by Fra Filippo Lippi that resonated with me and inspired reflection. The following is a very brief summary of this examination. And I will conclude with my own reflections. And here we have the slide one. In looking at the whole picture, we see here two figures framed within two architectural settings, a garden and a house. On your left, the garden, and we note that it is separated from the house by a solid wall in the center and extend towards the middle ground of the image where it opens up somewhat and then drops down a step and ends at the plinth where we find a vase of lilies. In the foreground, the garden space is wide open, unlike the background of the garden. Here we see a well-worn path directed to the house in the foreground. This garden is both private and public. It is a closed space and it is an open space. We notice that Gabriel is not on the open path in the foreground, but kneels very gently on a portion of the garden in the middle ground, close to a gap in the wall. And we also see that he remains outside of Mary's space. Slide two. This is a detail of the right side of the picture. Mary sits in an open courtyard of her home. Up the step and to the left and to the right, I'm sorry, is her bedroom where we see a portion of her bed. And to the left, an open doorway in the wall. Within the doorway, we see a set of stairs leading to what appears to be a very private portion of the house. So the house and the garden reflect both aspects of Mary, both a public and a private figure. If we look at the doorway, we will see the divine represented in the symbol of the hand of God. This hand is shown in the gesture of a blessing emerging from a cloud. This cloud represents the overshadowing referred to in Luke 1:35. A dove, symbol of the Holy Spirit, has been dispatched from the hand of God and has made its way to Mary and hovers close to her body. Excuse me. It is no accident that Lippi has placed the divine here in the enclosed stairway. The stairwell is, and I quote, the most secluded and inward part of Mary's house. It suggests the intimacy of Mary's relation to God. Drury goes on to suggest, and again I quote, a human body is like a house, both private and public life. Inward and outer worlds meet there. It encloses our inmost thoughts and feelings. It also lets them out and reveals them. Lippi has taken care with the setting of his figures to enable an exchange between the most secluded self, Mary, and the open world of space and time, unquote. We see the moment at the end of the story where Mary has spoken the words, "Be it unto me according to thy word." And this is indicated by the lowering of her head, and more importantly, the placing of her hand on her chest. These gestures show us this moment. And these are very traditional indicators of Mary's acceptance. The focus of this painting is on Mary. Gabriel looks at Mary. The hand of God also directs us to Mary. And the dove is moving towards her. We can see that the dove is connected to the hand of God via transparent and airy discs. It may not be so clear. Trust me, it's there. I don't know how many generations away from the original this is. These discs overlap one another, and although they aren't clearly defined, they do form what Drury refers to like a loosened spring. In Lippi's time in the 15th century, they believed that an image of a form would travel through the air to the eye of the beholder in intermediate images. In most Annunciation pictures, the dove would be located above the head of Mary. Here, as noted before, the dove is found hovering very close to Mary's body, and in particular, her heart. Slide 3. If we look closely at the dove, we will see that there's a spray of golden particles coming from its mouth, which is met by another similar spray coming from a slight slit in Mary's tunic by her right hand. Mary bends forward in acceptance, and as Drury notes, and I quote, "For the incarnation itself to occur, divinity waits for that little moving forward in consent, that slight but momentous action of Mary's in saying, be it unto me according to thy word." We see this visually in two ways, Mary bending forward and the active response or this movement of this golden spray of light. There's a dynamic communication going on. Lippi has used his imagination and as well light and sight rather than speech to render Mary's response to tell a story in a visual way. You can shut the slides off now. Thank you. When reflecting on this painting and Drury's analysis, it occurred to me that this is a beautiful description of how God comes to us generally. It's like a template. As Revelation 3 states, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock." Christ waits, not barging in, not demanding or running to us through wide open spaces, but waits for us to respond on the other side of the opening wall of our hearts, a kind of holding space. For we are the recipients of the gift of God, the incarnation of Christ in our lives. As Frederick Buechner noted, if God speaks to us at all in this world, if God speaks anywhere, it is into our personal lives that he speaks, unquote. Number 2, it is an active engagement. It depends on our acceptance of this gift, just as it did with Mary. There is a communication, a kind of dialogue that is part of the process. Again, in Revelation 3:20, Christ waits for us to respond so he can come in and eat with us. Made me think that a lot of this is like prayer, this kind of engagement. So we can accept as Mary did, or we can refuse. Thirdly, so Mary accepted and gave birth to Christ and watched as he left her to begin his work in the world. While we will not carry the Christ child as Mary carried him literally as a baby in her womb and birthed him and let him go out into the world, we can and do carry him in the mysterious and enclosed and private parts of ourselves, our souls, and then publicly take him out into the world as we live out our daily lives in our engagement with others and see what he does through us and around us. Nadia Botts-Weber believes, I'll quote again, that through Mary, we see what casting our lot with and being blessed by the God of Israel really looks like. Namely, that being blessed means seeing God in the world and trusting that God is at work even in things we can't see or understand or imagine. So just as it depended on Mary to begin her public role in the incarnation of Christ, so too it depends on us to reveal Christ in our public lives. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.